Hello and welcome to Inside the World Economic Forum. I'm Michelle Mishler. This week's podcast is dedicated to the World Economic Forum on Africa, which is kicking off in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, next week from May 9th to 11th. In the last 10 years, Africa has been home to 6 of the 10 fastest growing economies in the world. And while there are still challenges on the continent, there is also tremendous opportunity, and the world is harnessing that potential. First, we speak with Elsie Kanza. She's the head of Africa and shares with us the theme of the meeting and what her hopes are for Africa's future.
The world has woken up to the fact that Africa is now a major growth opportunity. So of the top 10 fastest growing economies over the last decade, 6 of them were African, and according to the IMF's forecast for the next 5 years, 7 out of the 10 will be in Africa. So Africa is clearly not just showing potential for growth, but is actually growing. And the focus of our meeting this year is to say, well, how do we shape that growth to make sure that it is sustainable, to make sure that it is quality, meaning that there's diversification in the various economies. They're not just dependent on a single commodity. And then also to ensure that it addresses the development challenges that's still very much a part of life on the African continent.
You addressed challenges. What are the main challenges in dealing with Africa and getting its development to where it needs to be?
The different facets. I'll use our meeting as an example of how we are focusing on 3 key challenges. One is leadership. On the leadership front, Africa's come a long way. And at the same time, incredible challenges remain. So, for example, the issues of regional integration, political stability on the continent, improving the systems of governance, tackling corruption, and just strengthening the systems which underpin a modern society. And the second sort of key area of challenge is an investment. So as a growing continent, Africa needs more investment. It still accounts for a trivial amount of the global foreign direct investment flows. And what's a critical concern now is how to attract more investment into the continent. And this means that we need to tackle the barriers for that investment. So, for example, addressing infrastructure challenges. And what we're looking at in our meeting is to treat infrastructure as an opportunity rather than a challenge. So invest in energy. It can be a profitable investment. So on the one hand, it will address the needs for energy on the continent, but on the other hand, it could be a form of return for investors. There's also ongoing reforms to improve the environment for doing business. And during our meeting, we'd like to sort of exchange notes and see whether or not the policymakers and the business community are on the same page in terms of having an environment that's conducive for expanding their investments, and not just within countries or within industries, but across the continent and ultimately globally. And the third key area of challenge is development, so where we still have health issues, education, poverty in general. And the focus that we've taken this year is to look at solutions. We're also seeing emerging solutions on the continent, very innovative approaches to addressing health challenges, to addressing access to finance, to addressing access to energy as well. And what we'll be focusing on is one, to just share what is happening, and two, to see whether they can be scaled up and replicated across the continent so that we can see more impact in terms of addressing these development challenges.
Okay. Now, you addressed corruption. Now, looking at corruption, I think also an important aspect is when we're talking about investment and investment coming into the country. I mean, you hear a lot about this, of foreign companies coming in and exploiting the African workers and exploiting the resources. how do you make sure that that doesn't happen as well? How do we kind of ensure that when investment does come in, that it comes in on the up and up and that it isn't going to exploit the people, it's not going to exploit the resources?
I think the most important part is to have the right institutions in place. So one, to have systems that work, that reduce the need for corrupt practices to even come to the table. And the second, to have institutions in place that can take remedial measures. So if you break the law, then you should be held to account. At the same time, if you know the guidelines for investment say you must go through step 1, 2, and 3, and to ensure that you actually go through step 1, 2, and 3, and that is clear to everyone concerned, the service provider as well as the client. In general, so the environment is improving, and this I say just based on the growth figures that if things were as bad as we make them out to be, these economies would not be growing, and it's unusual countries. If we look at the countries that are expected to be the fastest growing going forward, these include countries like Ethiopia, Tanzania, Zambia, Congo, Ghana, Mozambique, and Nigeria. So it's definitely a mixed group, and it also goes to show that in tackling the challenges to growth and investment, there is no one size that fits all. We need to take things in context, but most importantly, we need to strengthen the institutional governance systems in these countries.
What are some of your hopes for this meeting and for Africa as a continent in general?
The most important thing right now on the continent is this very strong sense of optimism. We hear a lot of talk about Afro-optimists, and this is a radical change from Afro-pessimists. And the appreciation is that the situation's not perfect, but we're definitely not where we were 10, 20 years ago. So there are more elections taking place on the continent. So you have a lot more democratically elected leaders. You have new leaders going forward. There's strong commitments to upholding sort of rule of law and stabilizing the macroeconomic front. So just in terms of stability, from an economic and political standpoint, Africa's future looks bright. We still have a few odd spots. There have been a couple of coups recently, and they serve to remind us that that the situation is still fragile and that we cannot stop the reforms process. We need to keep moving forward. The strong sense of optimism from the investment side is that Africa's growth is no longer being driven by mining metals, oil and gas. I think that's an important part of the overall investment landscape, but we're seeing new sectors driving growth like agriculture, and this is the case for Ethiopia. Ethiopia is one of the fastest growing economies, and it's on the backbone of agriculture. And Ethiopia is also the second largest in terms of population nation on the continent. So this is incredibly important because it goes to show that smallholder farmers are finally sort of improving their livelihoods and their incomes. The sectors that are driving growth, apart from agriculture, which is very important for Africa, given that it employs most Africans, are also the retail industry. So Africans' consumption, consumer class and the ability to consume is increasing, and this is fueling growth of industries such as telecommunications, growth of the mobile phone. Usage on the continent is now the fastest in the world. And this is fueling all kinds of new industries that can use the mobile phone device. We're also seeing an upsurge in banking services and in the retail industry overall. So this is very exciting. I mean, Africa now has 1 billion people, and over 60% are young people. So this market can only grow. So that's very exciting. The other exciting aspect is Africa's talent. Having millions of young people, on one hand, yes, it could be a case for instability, but on the other hand, it's also an immense opportunity for able to provide them with the right skills and the opportunities to enable them to transform not just Africa, but ultimately the world.
Now we turn to Alex Wong. He is the head of Basic Industries, and he gives us some insight into the role of responsible mineral mining and sustainable infrastructure in Africa.
So we are focusing on a session related to mining and metals and the future of mining and metals, and specifically as it pertains to Africa. We have a second topic that's focused around infrastructure, infrastructure both on a global level, but again also in the aspects regards to Africa. Both of these themes are part of a larger global thread of activities we're doing on the topic. So let me first talk about mining and metals. Mining and metals, as we know, recently has become a crucial enabler of economic growth and development for many countries who now are starting to develop their minerals sector. Africa has many examples of countries already who have done so, and a lot of examples of new countries who are now starting to explore their mineral wealth, as an example, a country like Guinea. So for the last 2 years, the World Economic Forum has been working on this particular topic of how can countries develop their mineral resources in a responsible manner. And we don't mean government necessarily, we mean a country. Government, private sector, civil society, all stakeholders. The result of that work has been a report called Responsible Mineral Development, part of our RMDI initiative, Responsible Mineral Development Initiative. And the second phase of that report was launched in February 2012, which lays out a framework of six building blocks of how countries need to consider these as they develop their mineral resources. It's provided a phenomenal platform to have discussions with policymakers, with the private sector about the mineral development of a country. In Africa, at the same time, there's been a lot of awareness on the policy level with policymakers on what makes good policy, fair, good mineral development policy. And so there has been a lot of work in Africa, primarily led by the UN Economic Commission of Africa, which is the Africa Mining Vision. And so the Africa Mining Vision is a policy framework that most African governments are looking at as they create mineral development laws. So we are using the Africa Summit as a private meeting in partnership with the UN Economic Commission of Africa, as well as the Intergovernmental Forum for Mining, Minerals, and Sustainable Development, which is a governmental Ministry of Mining community, together with the World Economic Forum, to look at what is the current situation of mineral development in Africa, what are the current policy challenges and issues that countries are facing, what are some solutions they should be considering based on the work we've been doing. And an outcome of this session will be the creation of a set of actions where the UN Economic Commission for Africa has asked the forum to then facilitate those potential actions up to the Africa Development Forum that is being planned.
These
recommendations. Or at least help facilitate how we can advance some of the solutions identified in the session. So we're very excited because the Africa, the private meeting in Addis will serve as a starting point on a continent level that will have a landing point in October of this year in the Africa Development Forum. Secondly, Guinea, the country of Guinea, from the president's office, has already invited the World Economic Forum to hold a specific roundtable around Guinea's economic mineral development. So we are going to use the Addis Summit to also meeting with the Guinean delegation that will be there to also start laying out how that meeting will work, what will be the key agenda.
So what are some of the key concerns? What are some of the issues that are challenges if we're looking at the continent?
Yeah. So as an example, artisanal mining is a huge issue in Africa. So artisanal mining are the small, unregulated players. They're very predominant across lots of African countries. It's a huge issue with how do you deal with this community of a lot of actors who are outside the system. How can you, what kind of policies and regulatory frameworks need to be put into place? And so that's an example of one key issue that's going to be one of the breakout topics in our discussion, where we're going to apply some of the global thinking that's been going on, some of the solutions created in our Responsible Mineral Development Framework, and have a frank discussion on that and with the multi-stakeholder participants that will be there, hopefully, you know, come up with some concrete ideas.
Now, does this also involve precious metals? Obviously, a lot of people know about, you know, diamonds and gold mining that is troublesome there. Is this part of this?
Yeah. Minerals is the full gamut. And with mineral prices of even just basic minerals like copper, for example, going being very high now, this is why it's become such a relevant topic. So infrastructure also, we know, and has been repeated in many reports, it's crucial for economic growth. If you don't actually have the right infrastructure in place, you can't, whether it's mining, whether it's agriculture, whether any economic activity. So at the World Economic Forum, again, for the last several years, for the last 2-3 years, we've been looking at this issue. Over the last 6 months, we're entering a new phase. It's called the Strategic Infrastructure Initiative, which is taking all of the studies around clean and clean growth, green growth, financing. How can you create new models of financing? We're actually pulling it under one umbrella, which fundamentally now looks at, okay, how can we now actually get these infrastructure projects moving more effectively and efficiently? There's been a really wave of political momentum recently around this topic, which is actually extremely crucial for this phase that we're now entering, starting with the G20. The high-level panel on infrastructure came out with a series of very aggressive recommendations to get these projects moving. They highlighted 11 exemplary projects. Tijan Tiem, from CEO of Prudential, chaired that panel. He will be one of the co-chairs in the Africa Summit and is one of our champions of this initiative in the private meeting that we'll be planning. Gordon Brown, this has been one of his key topics. He will also be present in Africa Summit, coming to the private meetings that we're organizing, along with several other partners of the forum, as well, of course, countries. Because at the same time as what's happening on the global level, in Africa, again, Africa has taken great strides under the framework of the NEPAD Africa Union. There's something called the Program for Infrastructure Development in Africa, PIDA. It's a declaration by political leaders on and commitments on how Africa needs to move forward on infrastructure. So we are going to use our Addis meeting to have two events. One is what we're calling more of a working meeting to pull everyone together to talk about, okay, where are we now? Where are we with PETA? What needs to happen to get these things moving more effectively and efficiently? And from our work, we believe that the forum can contribute by making sure we're all talking the same language and frameworks, that we can help support the project preparation process, which is a crucial phase in infrastructure projects, which is often not done well. And of course, use our platform to galvanize and re-galvanize all the stakeholder political support. The second session is a private executive breakfast, which is going to be an hour long, but all at the very leader level, where we will use the outcomes from the first working meeting to again come out with some, maybe perhaps a recommitment of support, and again, how can the World Economic Forum then take this forward and support already the existing programs and secretariats that are in place in Africa? That's our objective for infrastructure.
Now, if you're looking at the infrastructure in Africa, and it's obviously a challenge, but can it also be looked at as an opportunity?
We actually need and always need to recognize already there's a fantastic platform already to build on. So we are not coming in to reinvent something that's there. In fact, the Strategic Infrastructure Initiative looks at it from two questions. First of all, what are the key priority projects that a country or a region needs to prioritize to have the biggest bang for the buck, so to speak? And the second question is, once identified, how do we get these moving? For Africa, and like many regions of the world, there actually is already, question one's already been answered. There are fantastic plans sitting in binders on people's desks. In Africa, it's the PETA strategy. And therefore, we are going to build off of that. We don't need to come in and reopen this process. The key now is, how can we get these things moving? So I think the homework's been done. People have spent countless hours and resources to develop the strategies and plans. Political leaders have put their names beside certain projects, heads of states. And so now it's a matter of, how can Addis serve as a place to kind of help kickstart and using the forums platform to help move these things forward.
Getting it from paper onto the ground, actually.
Yeah.
And finally, Alex Mung. He's the head of the Water Initiative. We discussed with him how other industries across Africa can emulate the work being done on the water issue in South Africa.
So over the past 2 years, the Water Initiative has been working with a group called the Water Resources Group. Essentially, this is a consortium of leading private sector champions, along with other multilateral development agencies like the International Finance Corporation and bilateral development agencies like the Swiss Agency for Development and Cooperation, looking at bringing together the best expertise to support country governments take on and accelerate water reform activities.
And how's it working with South Africa?
With South Africa, last year we started a new partnership with Minister Malewa, who is the Minister of Water and Environmental Affairs, basically drawing together private sector champions in South Africa, together with government and leading civil society, in an effort to find opportunities and joint win-win solutions to help manage and use water more efficiently in South Africa. Recent analysis had shown that based on business-as-usual activities, growth in economic sectors, agricultural aspirations, population growth, there was going to be a gap of 17% in South Africa's water use compared to its supply in 2030. So essentially, South Africa just didn't have enough water to meet its demand. So in order to close that gap, we've been drawing on companies like SAB Miller, on Nestle, Coca-Cola Company, Eskom, Sasol, basically to help identify these solutions with South African government and where the most opportunities existed.
So now looking at what you've done with the Water Initiative, how does this translate into what you're going to be doing in Addis Ababa?
Essentially, the model that we've been working with South Africa is actually quite simple, drawing on the expertise and competencies and experiences of companies together with governments and civil society. It's essentially just a better way of collaborating. Now, this can be translated not only for water, but for other issues. How do you use the best experiences from all sectors in a sort of a win-win collaboration for different issues? So looking beyond your own positions and working towards joint solutions. That is what we're hoping to translate into other issues like clean energy, investments into green infrastructure. You know, and how do you draw on the best expertise to make these things happen? There is a need for a shift in mindset, unfortunately, but it is doable. Traditionally, water has been sort of managed and framed as an environmental issue. And it's been managed very much at a technical level, very much all the engineers, and very siloed. And this breaking down the silos and collaborating between all sectors and between all departments is actually what needs to happen. And that, I think, is actually quite similar to a lot of other issues as well. So although a new mindset and new thinking has to emerge, we've shown that it is possible with Africa, at least in South Africa, and we hope to take that into other countries on the continent.
That wraps up this edition of Inside the World Economic Forum. I'm Michelle Mishler. Join us again next week, and thanks for listening.